Welcome, everyone, back to the first post-game broadcast of the Bob Chesney era. UCLA just knocked off Cal in one of the more satisfying games in recent memory, 45-24 on the road in Berkeley. UCLA outscored Cal 21-0 in the fourth quarter, completely dominated the final quarter. Tie game going into that quarter. UCLA had played a pretty bad, entire third quarter, last minute of the first half, and then, well, really one bad mistake on offense and then really bad defensive series. And then the beginning of the fourth quarter hadn't looked great, and then buckled down and completely dominated the last 9 minutes of the game. Let's start big picture. We usually start kind of minute, but big picture, hugely, hugely significant win. I mean, we've been talking about this game now for months and months and months, and how weirdly significant and important this was for setting the tone, for being a bellwether, given the relative and respective potential quality of these two teams. It was a pick 'em. More or less, it was Cal by 2.5 a month or two ago, UCLA by 2.5 by game time. But like there was no reason to expect it to be a blowout one way or the other. And then UCLA went out and did it. Now you could make an argument that this maybe, you know, wasn't quite the blowout that it was. But I'll say this, if UCLA doesn't make a mistake at the end of the first half, they're going into halftime up 24-10 at minimum. And potentially 28-10, the way they were running the ball. And it's a completely different game at that point. Cal, to their credit, kind of robbed UCLA of some momentum with that pick at the end of the first half. And we'll get into the decision-making and all that kind of stuff there. But, you know, the macro here is that UCLA won by 3 touchdowns on the road in the first game against a Power Conference team that no one is expecting to be bad. Like, Cal might not be great, but no one's expecting them to be bad this year. And UCLA went out and really put the screws to them. And in the doing, kind of looked like pretty much what we expected at its high-end potential. The run game, really, really impressive. The defense gave up some explosives, but that was kind of the thing about JMU's defense, too. They would give up some explosives, but they were good at creating some negative plays, and you certainly saw that in the fourth quarter. From a significant standpoint for Chesney, for UCLA, this was absolutely huge. You know, the complexion of a season that finishes with kind of those high-end win totals, they almost have to include Cal as a win. The version of this team that goes north of 8 wins almost has to have Cal as one of those wins. It's a ridiculous thing to say because obviously you start with a loss, all of your high-end expectations start to dampen down a little bit. But right now, being 1-0 and with that one win being a, you know, ending score, kind of a dominant win, you can kind of hold on to those dreams and aspirations for this team. And that's not to say there's not a lot to correct, and we'll get into a lot of that stuff right now before I write my recap, but there was a lot to love about this game. And from the mentality standpoint, to go from in a tie game 24-24 where Cal really had all the momentum in that third quarter, and to wrest control of the game back from that, and then not just, you know, score a touchdown, because at that point, when they were up 31-24, there was nothing, you know, I mean, there was no reason to expect the defense to suddenly just buckle down again and start locking them down. But to completely dominate those last, again, like 8 minutes or so, real sign of, I think, a culture sea change, a mental state sea change from where this program has been for the last many, many years. And so I think if you were looking for, you almost wanted to see a little bit of adversity in this game just to kind of get that picture in your head. Because if there's one thing about Bob Chesney from like a culture standpoint, that's a big part of where he hangs his hat on that competition, that being ultimate competitors and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's what you saw in the fourth quarter of this game, where everything was going wrong. I mean, UCLA had 12 penalties for 110 yards in this game. The momentum was completely against them. And instead of kind of wilting or collapsing or admitting defeat or all the different things we've seen UCLA do in the past, they buckled down, dug deeper, and played with a ton of grit, and made key plays when they needed to happen. You know, that's just, I mean, it's not something we've never seen from UCLA before, but it's not something we've seen consistently or really recently from UCLA teams. So to do that in the opener, to have already kind of put that stamp on the program in game one, I think, you know, optimism and overabundance at this point for where UCLA already is from a mentality standpoint, from a culture standpoint. Now let's get into the game. So UCLA ran the ball incredibly well in this game. You know, obviously they put some icing on the cake with Wayne Knight and Anthony Woods late with a couple of huge runs, including Anthony Woods, that 53-yard touchdown when they were already up 14 points. God, you know, I'm sure they're just running the ball, trying to run the game out. But putting an extra touchdown on Cal in this game, given the, like, I think, growing animosity between these two fan bases and given the calumny and everything, and I don't think there are many people who are on the fence in the Chesney era, but that probably put all of them on the side of, yeah, Chesney can do no wrong. Because that was the most necessary little icing on a blowout win that anyone has ever experienced at UCLA. But Anthony Woods running that for 53 yards. But I mean, each one of these starting running, or each one of these running backs, I shouldn't say all, they're all starters. Anthony Woods started the game, but each one of these running backs, I think, provided a little bit of kind of what we've talked about. Anthony Woods's physicality on that first touchdown run was exactly what people have said to us about him, but exactly what we all saw last year and exactly what we saw in spring ball. He's the most physical of these three backs, and he doesn't go down easily. And if he can maintain ball security while he's doing it, it makes him a very, very, very tough runner. It's why for the longest time we were kind of hanging to Anthony Woods is going to start, because we thought of him as kind of the back that fits what UCLA wanted to do the most. I think we walked that back a little bit just because these three guys are basically a triumvirate at this point, but he was really impressive. Wayne Knight was really impressive. Very explosive, very complete back. Ended up catching two balls for 30 yards, but also had eight carries for 71 yards and three touchdowns. And then Javian Thomas didn't have as much production, but when you saw him in space, you kind of saw what we were talking about there too, where it's, you've got to use these guys appropriate to their skill set. You know, Javian Thomas on a little option play where you're just option pitching it to him out on the sideline, where all he has to do is make one guy miss. That's where you want Javian Thomas. And so I think that was a really, really good rushing attack. And I honestly, my one critique, and this is getting into that one play, because I think there was, you know, there were some deficiencies in the passing attack. I think there's some deficiencies with Nico's just general performance passing wise. But that call at the end of the, or near the end of the first half, where they go empty. So that means, you know, you don't have a running back in the backfield with you. UCLA had been running the ball so well at that point that I was like, as they were breaking the huddle, I'm like, oh, I don't love this. Because at that point in the game, I think there were just under a minute to go, or just over a minute to go. You still have two timeouts. You're within the Cal red zone. You still want to have a run threat because you can still run the ball and not feel like you've got a ton of time pressure. And so they take the run threat off the field. The only run threat then at that point is Nico doing something with his legs, which is a considerable run threat, but it's not the same as having one of these backs on the field as well, because then you have zone read threat as well. And instead it was that, you know, that short out to, I think it was Brian Rowe that gets picked off. And like, there were a bunch of problems there. Nico throws the ball late. He's got to throw that about a half second earlier. If he throws it a half second earlier, it's open. But he's got to throw it, and he's got to trust that the receiver is going to run the route, correctly on that play. And he's staring it down the whole time. Like neither of those were good things. And obviously that's an execution failure, but I'm just thinking strategically, I would like to have a running back on the field right then, you know, somebody who's actually in the backfield who gives you that run threat. So, you know, I think there were two errors on that one to my eye. And that really was the hinge point for the entire game, because at that point, UCLA was up 21-10 and had all the momentum. They just stopped Cal again. They had just forced a fumble on JKS where Sammy Omosigo came around the edge and jarred the ball loose with a big sack. And that also, I think, contributed to JKS being pretty dinged up, which was another significant factor for UCLA. And then to have that pick was just, it was such a momentum killer. And then we'll get into the defensive side of what ended up happening after that. But I just thought it was that one error. And if that, and whether you want to call it the play call or you want to call it the execution, they're two sides of the same coin. Whatever you want to do is totally fine. But it's that one thing. And this is, you know, football is football. Sometimes one thing can completely flip a game. And it kind of did in this one for a long time. If that doesn't happen, if UCLA even just fizzles out on that drive, they're kicking a field goal and going up 14 into the half. And if they don't fizzle out, if they get back to running the ball right there, they might go up 28-10. And then they get the ball out of the half, and instead of being the team without momentum, they're the team with momentum. Maybe they score again coming out of the half. And then it's a blowout going into the second half. So it's really interesting to consider this game, because from a stats standpoint, and yes, it was getting into some like Cal being in disadvantageous position because they had given up so many points in the fourth quarter, but UCLA averaged 8.5 yards per play. Cal averaged 4.7. Cal just had the ball a lot more, so they had 87 total plays, and so they were allowed a little too much efficiency, and I know that's something that the defense is going to want to correct. But UCLA, when it had the ball, was explosive. Lot of explosive plays, a lot of huge plays. I won't say completely dominated this game. You got to correct the penalties. You got to correct some other things. But this offense was pretty impressive that third quarter notwithstanding, and did a lot of what JMU did last year, which was not always super efficient, but pretty dang explosive. So I thought, you know, that was the one, you know, that end of first half sequence was probably the one significant critique for me. I think besides that, I thought Nico just wasn't particularly sharp throwing the ball for a decent portion of the game. He hit those two deep balls to Mikey Matthews, which were awesome to see. Really good to see him hit both of those. They weren't perfect throws, but they were both completely catchable because he caught them. But then there was the, I think deep in that third quarter of just kind of messiness, there was the one where he's staring down Mikey Matthews on the comebacker. He's got Brian Rowe on a little drag over the middle. And it's just, if your drag is open on a third and 12 and it's Brian Rowe, who you know can make guys miss, who you know has explosiveness, and he's wide open, like he's got a lot of space, you got to hit your drag. I mean, I know, but like, I think that's just he needs to evolve in his understanding of, like, I think also who Chesney is, because from what I know, Chesney's going to be a math guy, which means that if you're facing a third and 14 midfield and you end up getting, you know, 9 or 10 yards on that play, you're more than likely getting another play then. It doesn't all have to be on the, you know, comebacker to Mikey Matthews where you're trying to get exactly the yardage you need. So I think, you know, that's something where they maybe need to evolve in their understanding and like kind of what the decision is on those sort of downs. Because I know it's a weird thing to think about UCLA these days, but with the amount of playmakers UCLA has, it's not a bad idea to check down on longer yardage because these guys can actually make plays. You know, Brian Rowe is a really special playmaker. You know, if I'm like looking for things to pick at, I would like to have seen him targeted more. He was targeted 4 times, got 3 catches, 28 yards, and then had the reverse for 20 yards early on in the game as a runner. But I think there's a lot of meat on the bone in the passing game if they can work on, you know, checking down when the check down is there, you know, not staring down, obviously. And then I think, you know, this is maybe a Dean Kennedy note, but like, do you want to be an empty much? Like, do you want to be an empty really at all? Or if you're going to go into empty, do you want to start with a running back in the backfield and then motion him out into empty so that you're not giving away that it's going to be a pass before the play is happening, just given what you have in the backfield, given the tools and the weapons you have there? I don't know. These are notes, things to think about. But generally very happy with the offense because what was really good about JMU translated, which is that running attack. It was really, really good from the jump. It was everything we thought it was going to be. For once, we weren't sitting here saying, damn, we were saying these running backs were really good and then they turned out not to be. No, each one of these guys did impressive, explosive things with the ball in their hands. And they did it against a defense that, yes, as I pointed out in the preview, lacked a lot of experience and probably could be exploited on the edge in the run game. But they did it against some talented guys. I mean, and I thought it was a really, really, really impressive performance from the rushing attack. And then the offensive line, my initial impression is it was fine. Like, not, you know, they didn't blow them away. Wasn't like incredibly dominant. I mean, I think there was some pass pro issues occasionally, but totally fine. Like, I thought Eugene Brooks played well. I thought, you know, they were rotating a lot on the guards. I would have liked to have seen more Carter Sweezy and less Julian Armella, but it didn't seem like anything too egregious there. Hall Schmidt had a couple of plays that I'm sure you'd want back where he was in space and just not really doing a whole lot, where I think he was caught in, you know, do I get downfield? What am I supposed to do here? But by and large, they opened up holes in the run game. They moved the line a good chunk, a lot, and mostly kept Nico clean. I think there was one sack, and that was not an offensive line issue. That was a probably a Nico issue where he didn't ID him as a potential rusher and had no eyes on him and nothing over there to chip him or anything. And that was the one, I think it was the one real sack that UCLA gave up. They might have given up another one later on. I think there was a lot to like offensively, even with, I think, Nico's issues and that one regrettable play at the end of the first half. Defensively, there was a lot to like and I think a lot to correct. First, on the what to like, Samuel Masigo, woo, oh boy, he's going to be really good. He's a lot of fun to watch already. Flying around out there, he was doing the thing that we always talk about where it's just like every single time there's a play, he is there to make the tackle. Always on the ball, always around the ball, always making a play. He was really good. Tayshaun James, two picks, showing great awareness, getting out there. And he's not necessarily supposed to be a great pass defense guy, but stepping up into a much bigger role than maybe he expected because Teo Johnson went down early. And then, I mean, he was probably the best defensive back for UCLA in this game. Defensive line, I thought Zaire West actually played incredibly well. I think this is one where if you watch the game over again and just isolate on him, I'm pretty sure he knocked the left tackle for Cal on his butt, like fully, like, you know, they talk about pancakes on the offensive line. He was pancaking the Cal offensive lineman over and over and over again. It didn't translate to sacks. He only had one that was, I think, termed TFL because JKS was moving forward at the end. But he was, I thought, really, really dominant on the edge. I thought he created a lot of havoc. And JKS is very good. And so he was thrown against it really well. He rolled out against it really well. He's got a really nice natural feel, even though he's not a runner. And there was one play, yes, again, on the bad defensive sequence to end the first half where West probably needs to stay wider to account for the fact that JKS is a lefty. He's going to be rolling left. It's a hard thing to practice if you don't have a lefty quarterback on your roster. And so I can see, you know that you're supposed to do it, but also remembering and executing it can be a different thing because so, like, you're not going to face that many lefty quarterbacks. Most of them are righties. And so if you're coming from the right side, you're not, the containment to that side is a little bit of a different assignment. So I get it. But I thought he was really good. I thought he did a lot of really nice things. Donovan Palat seemed like he played a lot more as the game went on because he was playing great. He did a lot of things in this game. He was good in run support. He had a great just one-on-one in the end zone where he made a pass breakup. I thought he played an awesome game. That was one of his best games as a Bruin. Really good to see from him. Jalen Woods had a couple of tough moments, but I would say by and large ended up a positive. Racked up a lot of tackles. On the first drive for Cal, he had a bad missed tackle. He got caught in the wash on one of the Cal touchdowns, or one of the Cal like deep runs to the three yard line. But I would say by and large played pretty well. Wasn't an eyesore. Main issues for me were I think the secondary, it got a little depleted. Cole Martin, he didn't play much. I think he played a little. He didn't play a whole lot. He had been dinged up for like the last couple weeks of fall camp and had been in and out. So maybe just on a snaps restriction of some sort. He didn't play a whole lot. Teo Johnson went down early. And then Roderick Pleasant was getting an IV at the end of the first half. So you were really down effectively three starters in that sequence at the end of the first half. And you saw it. Like, you saw exactly what was happening. Dante Lovett had a really, really bad sequence of three plays. Really bad. First one gets caught watching the backfield, lets a guy past him, and JKS has too much arm strength even running to his left to allow that to happen. The next play down, he just gets owned, basically, in a more of a one-on-one situation. And then on the final play, this is one I'll have to watch again before I give a definitive opinion, but Sammy Omosigo was in an impossible spot where he had to have full coverage on the tight end while also being the only contained guy on the edge. And it looked like Dante Lovett, again, was not in position to help on that play and needed to be. So it was a really rough sequence and kind of a product of having too many backups in the game at one point. So that was unfortunate. I didn't think the secondary generally played up to what I was expecting from them. There was a lot of kind of, I won't say fully blown assignments, but just a little too much of like that tight end for Cal running free, especially early, where he was just getting wide open against their zone looks. DJ Barksdale had a couple of tough moments at the beginning, but then he made up for it with a great sack on that nickel blitz, which was a really well-designed blitz. It's so hard. Like, if a nickel blitz is coming from the edge, you might be able to ID it. But when it was kind of looping back in between the guard and the tackle, that's just really hard for anybody to pick up. Quarterback, running back, anybody in the offensive line. That was going to be coming in free no matter what. And he did a great job executing it and bringing him down. But yeah, I think there's a lot to work on defensively. But I think my big takeaway here is that UCLA has a linebacker for sure in Omosigo. Jalen Woods seems more or less fine. And then you've also got, Trent Hendrick will probably continue to acclimate and look, you know, like more and more of a factor as the season goes on. And that's a positive. And when Tyson Ford was in there, I actually thought the defensive line was not too shabby up front. I do think it's pretty thin. AJ Fuimaiono had to play a lot. Amir Washington also got dinged up at one point. He came back in. But I thought, you know, there's some stuff to work with, but obviously a lot of room for improvement. They're not going to face too many passers as talented as JKS on one hand, but also their third down stuff needs to get home a lot quicker and a lot faster than it did in this game, because there are other passers who can beat you on third and medium, third and long. It's not just JKS in the entire Big Ten, because he's not in the Big Ten. You know what I mean? Throughout the nine-game Big Ten schedule, they're going to face some passers who are pretty good. And so they'll need to be better on those downs, because they gave up way too much on third and medium, third and long in this game. Too many big plays. So they're going to have to pressure on those downs, or at least show pressure. But they got to get home more frequently. Two sacks in this game, probably not the number they wanted. They probably wanted to get a little bit more. But I do think the pressure rate ended up pretty strong. And I mean, they did end up with six tackles for loss. So I don't think it was like a zero or anything from a pressure standpoint. And it came from a lot of angles. They had linebackers, defensive linemen, and multiple players in the secondary with TFLs. So they were definitely bringing it from different angles, which I like to see. But by and large, I mean, just a really, really great first performance for Bob Chesney for UCLA under Chesney. You know, easily one of the most satisfying openers that UCLA's had in, I mean, probably over a decade. Just, you know, going back to, what was that, the A&M opener in 2017? I don't even know if that was, like, satisfying as much as it was, like, relieving that they ended up winning that one. This one, for what it meant for the program to begin this season, I think for what it meant for fans, given how obnoxious Cal fan has been in the lead-up to this game, and given the calamony, given all of that, absolutely huge win. And I think started off the Bob Chesney era exactly the way anybody could have asked for or wanted. All right, I got to get to writing, but really fun first game. UCLA wins 45-24. And if you want to get all of our analysis of the post game, including report card, including recap, including Tracy's second thoughts on Sunday, all that good stuff, right now you can subscribe to Bruin Report Online for 75% off. Obviously, given the result of that game, now is the time. All right, talk to you all soon.